When we adjusted it for sex, so separating the male and female data, the females showed a significant increase in 1 rep max using lifting straps in comparison to closed grip. I think it was like 5.5% increase of 1 rep max when using lifting straps.
Welcome, Chris, to Evidence Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you. If you could briefly introduce yourself.
Hey, happy to be here. So my name is Chris. I'm a competitive powerlifter and living in New Zealand. A few years ago, I completed a thesis on the topic that we're going to be talking about today. So I'm based in New Zealand, and yeah, that's me.
Awesome. So the thesis title is The Influence of the Closed Grip, Hook Grip, and Lifting Straps on Kinetic, Kinematic, and Qualitative Performance Variable of the Power Snatch. You are a powerlifter. Why did you decide to do the study about power snatch?
Yeah, so most people that I had talked about, they had completed a thesis, either master's degree thesis or a PhD. And in a way, they told me that they almost regretted the topic because, you know, you spend so much of your time focusing on this topic that you kind of, I don't know, get overwhelmed with everything around it. So because I love powerlifting so much, I didn't want to lose my love for powerlifting by oversaturating myself in it, but I also wanted to contribute something in a similar field. So Olympic weightlifting was something that interests me and I wanted to learn more about. I almost didn't know anything about it because my background had predominantly just been in powerlifting. So I knew that this would help me stay engaged with the thesis the entire way instead of competing in powerlifting and also studying powerlifting and everything along the way as well. So it was purely just so I could learn something new and to keep my interest within powerlifting at the time.
That's awesome. So clear.
Yeah.
All right. So you decided to investigate how the performance in power snatch will differ with different types of grips. Maybe let's go and try to describe what the types were and how you define them and so on.
So the ones that we investigated were the closed hand grip. So this is the grip that most people will kind of default to when they just begin lifting in the gym. And for most gym exercises like dumbbell exercises or machines and that, you'll typically grab with a closed hand grip, which is just having your hands over the bar and your thumb is typically on top of your fingers. So that was the closed hand grip. The hook grip was one that's predominantly used with competitive weightlifters, and also some powerlifters as well will also use hook grip, which is the same position as double overhand grip, where both of your hands will be over the bar. But for the hook grip, the thumb is underneath the fingers here, and the fingers are wrapping around, essentially locking your hand onto the bar. So the reason that a lot of people use this, especially weightlifters, is anecdotally it helps to stop the barbell from rotating in the hand, and also has been shown to just be a little bit more secure in the hand opposed to closed hand grip, which is the limiting factor is typically just grip strength. And then the final one that we wanted to look at as well was the use of lifting straps, which again is the same position. Both hands are double overhand over the bar, but the lifting straps essentially are just fully securing you to the bar by having the depending on what type of strap the straps are, wrapped around your wrist and then also looped around the bar so that you can grab that, and essentially you're connected to the bar almost passively.
Awesome. So you decided to investigate the types of grips in power snatch. Awesome. So I think it links us really nicely to talk about participants. So who did you invite to the study?
Yeah, so we had a few requirements that they had to be able to pass before they could be included. So the first one was they had to be able to power snatch at least 75% of their body weight. So that was the first one. They had to have at least 6 months of experience with the use of hook grip and lifting straps. So this couldn't be a new idea for them. The age bracket as well, they had to be between 18 and 25 years old, free from acute and chronic injuries, and also not currently using anabolic steroids. So we invited both genders, so males and females were able to participate, and we ended up getting a nice 50-50 split. So we had five females and five males. We had one additional male at the beginning, so we did have six and five females, but during the first part of the study, that participant was unable to power snatch 75% of their body weight, so we had to exclude all that data there, so we ended up with just 10, five and five by the time the study finished.
Okay, so if you could tell us now how you tested them.
Yeah, so the study was set out over 4 weeks, so one session per week. The first session was just a familiarization session of getting used to the equipment, lifting on the lifting platform in the laboratory with the, because we had a few things that were in place that we'll talk about soon as well. So we had like a linear position transducer that was connected to the barbell to measure velocity. So they had to get used to having something attached to the barbell. Also being in the laboratory, it was on a lifting platform inside a laboratory on top of a force plate. So I know like these things can be a little bit awkward at the first time when you jump on them, because it's raised off the ground. So it's kind of like an isolated little square. So we just wanted them to get familiar with, yeah, being in the laboratory and lifting for the very first time. And then after this session, we had three max out sessions that were in a randomized order, approximately 5 to 7 days apart. So they were assigned either lifting straps, closed grip, or hook grip before they came into the session. And we just worked all the way up to a 1 rep max for that session for each participant. And we did that for 3 weeks in a row until we had a 1 RM from a hook grip, closed grip, and lifting straps from each participant.
You have to know now what exactly you mentioned a little bit. There was a force plate and a linear transducer to measure the velocity. But what exactly you were measuring?
Yeah, so the first one, 1 rep max, obviously we're measuring the highest weight that they could lift with each grip style. With the force plate, we were just measuring peak forces, which was coming across from the duration of the second pull. So as they were completing triple extension. So we just took the peak value from these ones here. Same thing with the linear position transducer as well. We just took peak velocity, which was at the point where the bar was at its highest point before they started to come underneath the bar. So we just took the peak values from these ones here. But we also did a kinematic analysis as well. So on the side of the bar, we had a rubber ball that we used the bar path technology to measure and to follow that rubber ball on the side of the barbell movement. So we got to create a picture of the bar path essentially from each lift, from each maximal lift.
What did you do? What did you use for that?
Software was Kinovia that we used. Yeah, so Kinovia that just drew a picture on there that was, we also calibrated it. So we measured the distance of the platform and we're able to calibrate this on the software as well. So we can actually, there's a picture on my thesis where I actually like measured the distances from the bar path part. So from when the bar was at starting position, how much centimeters it came into the body, how much centimeters it came out from the body, which was, it wasn't a significant finding, but it was quite interesting to look at this part visually on study. But yeah, so we just used Kinovia to measure this part here, the bar path. And we also had a questionnaire to have some subjective measurements as well. So the questions that we had on the questionnaire were all measured by a 5-point Likert scale as well. So just a 1 to 5, 1 being like not good, 5 being great. The first one being my grip felt secure off the floor. The second one being my grip felt secure in the second pull. The third one being I felt powerful. Fourth, I felt fast catching the bar overhead. And we also had a visual analog scale as well to measure thumb grip pain, being a common occurrence of hook grip, with one side being no pain and the other side being lots of pain. So we measured this with closed lifting straps and hook grip. Yeah, and those were the main things that we measured out this entire study.
Awesome. So what have you found?
Yeah, so interestingly, there was no significant differences in 1 rep max when we included all of the data together, because we did hypothesize that you would get a higher 1 rep max from lifting straps, which would kind of go along the line of Dustin's study, because they found a higher 1 rep max of hook grip or the closed grip. But when we adjusted it for sex, so separating the male and female data, the females showed a significant increase in 1 rep max using lifting straps in comparison to closed grip. I think it was like 5.5% increase of 1 rep max when using lifting straps.
I'm surprised. So why do you think it happened?
So we like the thing with the failed lifts were, because there was a few reasons why we thought them. So with the failed lifts, with a lot of the people, they would make a lift, but then they would be failed to balance it and keep it there. So we thought that the higher weight that they were using with lifting straps, and it was also verbally expressed that a few of the people that would catch it above, and they were males in these instances, didn't feel comfortable when they were with lifting straps to walk it forward and catch. The other thing that we looked into was the grip strength deficiency. So we found a study which showed that the grip strength deficiency in females in comparison to males, and we thought that lifting straps being a much higher one rep max were a contribution to a higher one rep max in comparison to closed grip because of the grip strength deficiency and female comparison to males. So it was like more of a difference. But yeah, we didn't kind of come into any main conclusions from this. We just, yeah, it was just like kind of interesting that this kind of came about here, because yeah, we thought it would be pretty similar between both sexes. And yeah, so this was interesting.
So we didn't know whether it was the sample you were using or there is something with females that they feel more secure with straps and therefore are able to lift more.
Yeah, that was what was written up in the study, that we did put it down to the grip strength deficiency, because another interesting thing was the closed grip, especially for the males, which was so similar to, I think there was one participant that actually had a higher one rep max in closed grip than lifting straps and hook grip. He was a CrossFitter, which was another interesting thing as well. But yeah, we didn't know exactly why, but yeah, that was one of the interesting parts that we found about this one here, which yeah, with one rep max it was, yeah. But with that being said as well, back to the failed lifts, a lot of the failed lifts were quite higher, and it would have been interesting to have an external part of this added, because you know, just going up to like a high pull or something that didn't include catching the barbell overhead, because a lot of these failed lifts were quite high in the lifting straps, but they would just, you know, they would be uncomfortable catching it and finding the balance while they were wrapped to the bar for a 1RM mode. So it would have been interesting to keep the starter in here as well, because yeah, they were quite high. It was just the balancing act or catching it in a snatch position that was the dominant factor for them failing a 1RM max.
Interesting. So maybe the outcome of the study would be different if you would do high pull instead of power snatch.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because with the bar path data that you'd see on the picture there, was the lifting straps would be a little bit further forward when they caught the bar. Yeah. So when it was further forward, they would get pulled force from momentum and have to walk forward to try and recover it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But up until the catch point, it was, you know, relatively similar.
So interesting. Okay. Yeah. Did you find anything in peak velocity or peak force?
No. So there was no significant differences in peak velocity or peak force between the two groups. But it's also, that's interesting for this one here as well, because we took peak force and peak velocity so peak force during the second pull, and which was a similar time frame as well at the end of second pull for peak velocity when the bar was coming up. So these were all before the catch phase, obviously, so that they were just very similar all the way for no differences, no significant differences at least between those three individuals. Yeah. Which, when you look at the data, it doesn't surprise you because of there not being much significant difference in the one rep max, so the weight wasn't tremendously different between a lot. Yeah, so that would be another interesting thing to add, again, to what we were talking about before, what this data would look like for a triple extension of just a high pull, you know, lifting straps and hook grip in comparison to closed grip.
Did you find any differences in kinematics in the bar path?
Yeah, so statistically no, which was interesting, because when you look at the visual that we created, it looks quite different visually, but when you put it into the software and just as a statistical analysis on everything, there wasn't any statistical or significance that we found a difference between any of the main points here. So I'm not too sure if you had a look at the visual part, but the part that we measured, so and this was adapted from, it was like Winchester et al. Study that he created this bar pass trajectory with four main points on it. So we have got this point here, which is, they all start from when the bar is on the ground stationary, and it's the side of you that we're looking at this. So when the bar leaves the ground, it comes into you. So the distance between the bar leaving the ground and how far it comes in towards your body, he's labeled that as DX2. So we measured the centimeters in between this point here. When the bar comes in, I mean, as the bar you start to begin the transition towards the second ball bay away of your body as you're pulling up. I mean, it loops back around, and then you catch the bar a little bit behind the actual initial starting position of the body. So he's got these as DX2, DXB, which is the position from when it comes in to the furthest position out, the furthest away it comes from your body. And then we've got DXL, which is the furthest point away from the body, and the amount of centimeters back to the line of where the barbell initially started. And then we have DXT, which is the position of where the bar starts on the ground and where you actually catch it. So if it's from the start of the ground to behind your body, the measurement of DXT would be from here to here. So when you look at the graph that we made, it looks quite different for each three of them, but yeah, for the findings, there wasn't actually a major difference. But when you look at it, the lifting straps are typically, the bar stays a lot closer to the body during the first ball and all the way through the lift until the catching point, which is a little bit further forward when they caught the barbell. Hook grip was, when you look at the bar path on the results, hook grip was the most efficient bar path, like visually, when you look at it. And then close grip was kind of in the middle, but again, being caught quite far forward. So that was one of the findings that we found. Yeah, we also separated this for males and females, and if you look at the results on these ones here, the females tended to be relatively consistent with the catching point, so it wasn't tremendously far away from the initial starting point of the barbell, which probably could be, you know, thought of why they got like a higher one rate, because they visually looked a little bit more efficient with the catching point, whereas the males tended to catch it more forward from when the barbell starting position. So that was a big cause of a lot of the fails as well, in catching the barbell. Yeah.
That's very interesting. Velocity, force, 1RM, bar pass. Did we forget about anything?
Yeah, so we just had the questionnaire as well.
Oh, right. Questionnaire. Let's go.
Yeah, questionnaire. So we found significant differences for grip security of the floor with lifting straps in comparison to the other two, which can kind of be quite obvious that at this with this one here. And this was part of the hypothesis as well. We thought that this would be the case with lifting straps and upper grip. You get the highest carry of the bar on your with your hands. During the second pull as well, we found significant differences with grip security during the second pull, which can again be quite straightforward because the bar is literally secured to your hands in comparison to closed grip. But it was only significant for lifting straps in comparison to closed grip. It was still higher with hook grip in comparison to closed grip, but it wasn't significant opposed to lifting straps. I felt powerful was the third question, and this again was the same outcome, so it was just lifting straps significantly, but it was still higher with foot grip as well compared to closed grip, but only significant with lifting straps in comparison to the closed grip. And for I felt fast catching the barbell overhead, there was no most significant differences between the lot, which again you can kind of think along the lines of the one room max and these ones as well, because it did seem to be a common trend was this catching part for all the participants. And yeah, so none of them felt fast catching the bar overhead comparison to any of the lifts. The last one was the thumb grip pain. So there were no significant differences between each of these ones here. But we kind of put this down to just all three of them being quite familiar with the hook grip. Yeah. There was definitely, like, when you look at it on the scale, like, it was higher in hook grip, but not enough to again be like significant. So yeah, we just put this down to each of their athletes being quite familiar with hook grip.
That's very interesting, because then normally that's the main issue with hook grip, that it's painful, at least at the beginning. So it's interesting that you didn't find it. But as you said, they were familiar at least half a year of practice, so maybe that was not an issue, which is a good thing. So if you try to get your lifters to try hook grip, you can tell that it probably will go away. Well, now we have studies on it. The pain will probably go away.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of depending on their, like, the numbers are higher, but yeah, that's not.
Do you have the average for the group or hook grip?
For the pain?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we just measured this, and so this was just a line that they put on, and it was measured in centimeters. So the average for hook grip was 1.75 centimeters. The average for lifting straps was 0.58 centimeters. And closed grip was 1.52 centimeters.
Okay, thank you. This is good data.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Okay, just wanted to ask additional question about the measuring of pain. Did you use 10 centimeter line, vast scale, where people have to point the point where they think the pain was?
Yeah, I think it was 5 centimeters across.
All right.
I think it was 5. So it was just a line, and they just had to, draw a little mark on this point here, with one side being not painful at all and the other side being extremely painful. And then we just measured this with a ruler, 5 centimeters.
All right. So let's try to sum up. How would you sum up your study as advice for coaches and athletes?
Yeah, so for this one here, we concluded that the use of lifting straps would probably be quite beneficial for athletes that don't require the use of grip strength. So pretty much like not Olympic weightlifters, for example, because they can't use lifting straps in competition. But lifting straps could be a way to overload the second pull, or after the second pull portion of the motion. So yeah, athletes that want to overload triple extension could benefit from using lifting straps, in particular females, when you look at the data from the study here. Yeah, and also athletes such as sprinters and jumpers that don't require grip strength. So again, just ones that don't need to have the use of using their hands, that just require grip strength and greater grip security off the ground and greater grip security during the... Yeah, so yeah, practical findings, females in particular who may be experiencing grip strength deficiencies that don't require grip strength in their sport may benefit from using lifting straps and to be able to lift more weight with the power snatch. Also, athletes like jumpers and sprinters who require a powerful triple extension that don't necessarily directly require grip strength could benefit from using lifting straps as well to overload triple extension. Also, due to feeling more powerful lifting off the floor and during the second pull, and feeling more powerful overall with lifting straps, these athletes can benefit from this. Athletes who do not require grip strength could benefit from using lifting straps as well, due to the same reasons as before. Even if they don't require the use of a powerful triple extension, they can still produce a similar one rep max in comparison to closed grip and hook grip. So if they don't need to use these grips, they might benefit from using from lifting straps. But caution should be placed for athletes that require a specific bar path, as even significantly there wasn't a difference, but visually you can see a difference in bar path between using these three different types of grips. So potentially Olympic weightlifters that are ones to master their technique and have a pretty consistent bar path to be able to catch the bar overhead may benefit more from sticking to predominantly hook grip, and potentially, even though not found in the study here, use lifting straps up to the point of before the catch.
So okay for pulls, not necessary for the full lifts.
Yeah, just mostly because of the position that they were catching the bar board. Yeah, because before that moment, the bar part are tremendously different. So yeah,
that's very good. That's useful to know. Okay, I would also add that hook grip did not come out as overly more painful than closed grip. So no excuses for weightlifters.
Yeah, that's actually quite an interesting point as well to put out. So yeah, after being experienced after 6 months, we're like along with all the participants in the study, the pain can be quite relatively similar. So give yourself 6 months of hook grip before you cut the cord.
Awesome. Thank you. Did you cover everything you wanted?
I believe so, yeah.
Awesome. So two short questions. One is, what is your favorite color?
Yeah, so my favorite color is blue. I actually don't have any reason why. I just remember one day when I was at school, someone asked me what my favorite color is, and I seen the color blue there, and I freaked out, and I just said blue, and it's been my favorite color ever since. So.
Do you have like your favorite shade of blue, or any blue is good?
I like more of a watery type blue, like you know, when you see like the ocean at a particular moment. So yeah, not really a dark blue, more of a light blue.
Okay. The second question is, if people want to follow you or what you do or ask any questions, where they can find you online?
More dominant on Instagram opposed to other platforms, relatively active on there. I do have a website, thestrengthinstitution.com, where I provide coaching for strength athletes. And yeah, that's pretty much where you'll find me on there.
Awesome, Chris. Thank you so much for today and all the best.
Cool. Thank you so much.